Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone, including you and you. No, not you. Joining me on the podcast, Weekend Podcast, it's episode 582, is Naive Steve and Smelly Feet Pete. You're all right, lads.
Yes, good day. Hello, good day, good evening.
Hello there.
And Stephen, as you speak, is on location, aren't you, Steve?
Yes.
Doing one of your special projects.
Yeah, I'm performing a show today.
Yeah, what's it called? Naked Steve?
I'm not sure people would go to see to that.
So, where are you, Steve? Reveal a bit more about it. What are you recording?
I'm in the Pleasant Theatre in London, recording a sketch show for Radio Wales.
Oh, that's pleasant. Why are you in London doing it for Wales?
It's because all the actors live in London, don't they? So rather than drag all the actors to Cardiff, it makes more sense to drag me all the way up from Cardiff. So yeah.
Oh, lovies, are they? Yes. Okay. All right then. Let's talk about some stocks and shares there. Peter, what have you been doing this week? Anything interesting? As interesting as Steve?
Nothing as interesting as Steve.
Okay, I've been for a swimming lesson.
Right. Could you not swim?
Turns out I couldn't. No. Right, okay. All these years I've been trying. Why am I sinking here? Something you need of a lesson, fella. No, obviously with the kids and stuff, and my son has got up a level. He's now got a dark blue swimming cap.
Right. Are you still with the armbands, though?
Yes.
How many meters can he swim?
I've got a shark fin now. I like that. Strap it to your back with some Velcro, and he's got a shark fin. It's quite nice. Anyway, right, so stocks and shares. So we've in our experiment of £1,000 to £100,000 in 50 trades or less, achieving 10%. And from the first trade, of course, we put 10% on the second trade. We've now completed our first trade successfully, guys. Yes! First and foremost, let's celebrate that before we give the bad news. Yeah! Woo! So EasyJet was the pick. £9.99, I think, I bought it at. Pete was a bit higher. Me and Steve got it a bit cheaper because we got on favourable.
1p.
Never mind. And so we had our target, our stop loss at 11 was it? 11.12 I had it, something else?
Yeah.
You had it was 11.10, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, it was silly. It was a mistake. I had mine at 11, a stop loss at 11.12, limit order at 11.11, all right? And it was £11.50, and it was like it hit £11.60 at one point. So I looked at the charts. I got the charts out on my desk, and I said, right, you know, nice support level here. It should not go below, 11.30 or something it was. But so we said we can move our stop losses up from 11.10 to 11.20, and all of a sudden that day, it dropped like 2.5% out of nowhere, which is quite a lot for a big stock, and it went down to 11.14, 11.13, or something ridiculous. And then we got sold out. Of course, we got our 10%. Then it went back up, ended positive the day. And now looking at EasyJet, is up over 12.22.
Yes, very annoying.
That's annoying, isn't it? So it's annoying that we're saying that. There's something we didn't have. We just be thankful for what we do have. That's the cornerstone of happiness there, guys. Appreciate what you have, not what you want. Yeah? So
I walked away with 11.8% profit.
Excellent. Well done. Well, that's
well done, Steve.
You've exceeded target there, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Probably the first time in your life.
Yeah, despite buying it at some really random levels and selling it and then rebuying it.
Selling, buying too much and selling too little and buying and selling at the wrong time.
Yeah.
It was a bumpy road getting into it, I must admit.
Yeah.
Cost £500 in transactions.
I think I find out those creases.
So listen, guys, I don't mention our second stock, okay? I don't want you to mention it right now because I'm going to write a blog post about it, why we're buying it, and I want people to read that.
Is it a blue sky stock?
Well, it could be, hopefully, yes. But it's, like I said, it's in the sort of same sort of suit of armour as the previous stock. It's a big cap stock. It's a FTSE 100 company. People would have heard of it. It pays a dividend. It's turning over about £12 billion a year. It's a big stock. But I think it's been oversold. Now, I'm forming a criteria, right, that stocks have to fit to for us to invest, to get the 10%. And this fits it perfectly. I mean, from a fundamental level and a technical level. I can't see why it's been sold off. There are big brokers. They've got targets, you know, way above our 10% target mark for this stock. So I'm pleasantly, you know, optimistic. Now, what we have to learn is not be too greedy on getting that 10%. Once we're up above that, we've got a nice little margin of error. Yeah, keep the stop loss at 10%, but don't move it up. I think that's what we do. So I think we can do a lot more than like EasyJet. We get what would that be? Is that 12% we've got? No, 20%. Would that be?
Exactly. If we got to 12%, yes.
I mean, you know, these percentage terms in penny stocks are nothing, but for big stocks, and it's not so much about you know, the percentage gains here. If you can get a formula, right, and you can find stocks, it may take a while. Luckily, I was looking at this other stock a while back. And if you can get a formula sort of fits to it, then you've got a formula for making money. Mm. And if you've got a formula for making money, guys, then there's no end of amount of cash you can make, is there, really?
And you can sell the formula.
I'll sell the formula, yes.
Looking at the stop loss and the EasyJet thing, I think we just got caught up in the whole... We got caught up in a 1% change in the stop loss, which is ridiculous.
Steve, is that your breathing? Stop breathing for a while.
It's not breathing, it's wind.
Yeah, from your nose. From your big, fat, fleary nostrils.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite windy pops by you.
We got caught up in, like, the 1% movement of a stop loss, which is ridiculous.
Yes.
Whereas bigger picture, we should, you know, left it where it was. And, okay, if we lose that 1%, so be it. Potential upside was to get up to sort of 20%.
Well, that's the lesson, Pete. We'll write that down. We'll write it down. Once we got that...
I'll write it down now.
Once we got a nice margin of error there, then let's not bicker over a percentage there. We either need to get another 5% or 4% or 3%. We don't want 1% maybe. It wasn't even that, was it? It wasn't. Yeah, I don't know what it was. Right. Yeah. But Steve, are you in your truck? Are you off? It sounds like he's driving in his own. That sounded like a truck then from a cartoon back, like a Windy Miller truck, you know?
It's the number 393 bus.
Oh, okay.
The funny thing is, Steve is sat in a studio just playing with sound effects.
Yeah. He's playing with. Let's try this one. Nose, ear from nose effect. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Wendy Miller.
So every now and again, when I buy a stock, I do, you know, send you a text just to let you know what I'm buying, you know, and this is for you to do further research, of course.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And this week I did such with Barclay Henachia. Because, you know, there's a broker note out here, and I think it was they had it for 135, I think. And you know, these broker notes, I mean, some people believe in them, some people don't, but they are highly researched. And I look at that last report they had out where they're going to achieve $161 million post-tax, you know, profit per year. So I'm thinking, and also the clinch here, wasn't it? Was Fidelity. Fidelity bought another 2 million shares in Barclay Energia. And Fidelity is a big, investment house, of course, hedge fund and all that stuff. And so, they've already got 10 million shares. And I thought, if that's a big company, it's good. And as soon as I saw that, I jumped in, because Barclay Energia has been on a bit of a pullback of late, and it doesn't happen very often. And so, to me, that was a nice catalyst to jump in. And was it up Friday? Sorry, no, but it was up on the day, I think.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, I got in just before it rose on that news, and I think we should be seeing some more news soon. They haven't had any news for a while, and hopefully we're going to get them on the podcast hopefully soon. So I just think, do a bit of research if you're not in Barclay Energia at the moment. They've had a little bit of pullback. It's bounced. You can look at the 50-day moving average, and it's basically bounced off that, and you can see that on a chart. That's quite nice there, and it's done that quite a few times. And so it's almost like saying, whenever it does that, it's worth looking into it. If you're in it, then it's worth exposing yourself a bit more to it.
I bought some this week.
Yeah.
Because I think what I do is I put a stock on my watch list, and then I think I'm guilty of thinking, I was watching this when it was 30p, and it's now 45p. And so I'm kind of hoping it will get back to 30p, whereas I've got to get out of that sort of mind.
Pete, I got a solution for you there. Just stop using your watch lists.
Right, okay. Yeah, but don't you get that? You sort of think, well, it still seems expensive because I was looking at it at 30. But then you see the Fidelity news, you know the story, you know the future, the potential of this stock. You're like, and as you say, it was a pullback. You alerted me to the pullback, so thanks. I don't have price alerts, I have Justin alerts. And so for 44p, well, you go, yeah, this is the time now. I'm happy. I want to get involved in this stock for the first time. Forget the fact I could have bought it at 30p when I started watching it. But, you know, let's hope the future is bright for it. And it seems to be. On paper, it looks really good, doesn't it?
You said you know the future here. Did you say that?
I didn't say I know the future, but the future looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, you did say you know the future. You said, oh, okay. We know the future here. What is the future, Peter?
£4.
Tell me all about the future.
The stock is going to be £4 by this time next year.
Yeah.
Do your own research, but that's my prediction.
I've got some bad news for you, though, Pete, because I've also bought some, which probably means the stock's going to go down.
Plummet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Unless I accidentally sell out by accident by pressing the wrong button.
Probably.
And another stock was up this week, actually, quite strongly, on a bit of news, was Motive Bio. And I know, do you guys, I hold it. I bought back into the stock on the big drop, on the delay that it was going to, list on the NASDAQ, and then it delayed that. It gapped down, and I bought around about 45, I think. And now they're back up to 53, some of that. So are you in Motive Bio?
Yes.
Who's no. It?
Right, Steve, again, why are you in there?
Why am I in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've told you before why I'm in them.
Have you? Oh, yeah, go on.
Say it again?
Can you remember it?
It was something to do with, like, in biological, I don't know.
What do they do, Steve?
Oh, I don't know.
He just resigned himself to the fact he can't be bothered to even think of something.
He can't even come up with a...
yeah, they do Motive Bios. They sell lots of Motive Bios, and he couldn't even bother to say that. I don't know.
Very big in the pocket.
I just bought it, all right? Leave me alone.
It's like your Twitter bio. That's what they do. They write your Twitter bios for you.
Do you never like buy a sandwich and not know the filling? And
no, I never do that. I never do that. I never go into a Tesco's or Asda or whatever and shove my hand in the fridge there, sir, and just not. You've never done that in your life, Steve.
Sorry, I meant that wrong. But you experiment with something new. You're not 100% sure if you're going to like it, you know?
If I just shove it in my gob without knowing what it is. Do you? You obviously do. Is that your Chinese girlfriend walking next to you, Steve?
She's quite pretty, though.
Where's she from?
I said a bit loud.
Where's she from?
What?
Where's she from? Steve!
London.
Steve! No!
London.
No, but what... where does she look like she's originally from? I heard an accent there.
Oh, right. I don't know. She looked... I didn't really listen to her, to be honest.
But did she look like was she Oriental?
No, she's white. I don't know. She just looks British to me.
Just looks pretty. Is she from the land of prettiness? You ask her. Say, that's a good challenge. Excuse me. Are you from the land of prettiness? Because you look like you are to me.
Did you say pretty or did you say British?
What do you say, Steve?
Pretty.
Oh, pretty. I thought it was British.
Okay.
Right. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's it, is it? what else have we had? Oh, yes, listen. Often, right, when we know a story, like I said, and things go quiet, you find, especially on AIM, stocks go down, they drift, you know? And that is a time, if you need to top up. And
yes.
I did send out a little tweet earlier in the week saying, I like to buy stocks when it's quiet to avoid the noise. Because then I think, that's when you get a bargain. And I bought some more Asia Met this week.
Yeah.
And what else did I buy? I bought something else as well. Asia Met, anything else? Yeah, no, Asia Met resources. Because, it's a bit quiet.
They've gone off a little bit this week, haven't they?
What's that?
They've gone off a little bit this week, Asia Met.
They did, yeah, after I bought them.
Any reason?
No. But they went up, then they dropped a little bit back on, only a percent. But they went up by about 7.5% on Thursday. And then drop by 1% of it. No, but listen, there's going to be news out soon because they're doing drilling, infill drilling. Tony, we know Tony's chatting with, he's doing corporate chats with people. He mentioned this last time in the podcast. He's doing corporate chats with people in China, people in Indonesia. And there's lots of things going on. There's licenses, license extensions, there's license renewals happening. So, you know, it's almost like when the news drops, it's too late then. You can scramble around and try and get on and buy some shares straight away. Yeah. But then it starts to rise. You find it hard. Now, when it's quiet, is the time to buy it, you know? And obviously,
and I think a lot of the drift is, well, obviously, is caused by private investors who just lose interest or just kind of, yeah, sell a bit and move on. And that's, like you say, that's good news for people with a bit of patience because it's time to actually buy, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, hang on. Wasn't it this week that EVRH had some...
Yes.
Yes.
That Steve sold out of already.
Yes. Steve took a quick profit there. What's your thoughts now, Steve?
Well, yeah, probably that was a little bit of a mistake, wasn't it? But, you know, I'm still waiting for it to fall back and I'll buy in when it falls back.
It's a why thing, right? On that deal, they've done a deal with Telefonica, right? This is the biggest mobile phone network in Germany. Germany has a population of 80 million, more than the UK, right? Now, you know, am I being naive in thinking... When you're a small company, you do a deal, right? And it happens to be with the biggest mobile operator in the biggest country in Europe, pretty much the most powerful country in Europe. This is probably not the only deal you're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if Telefonica had bought into this, you know, there's probably a lot of interest elsewhere. It just shows you, you know, how high the level of interest is in virtual reality. And I was reading another big company today, actually. In fact, the company, I'm not mentioning who it is yet, it's going to be on the blog, R2 are also into virtual reality. They've got an app out of virtual reality.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So, you know, there's bigger and bigger companies are realizing that virtual reality is going to be here to stay. It's not a passing fad. You know, people have ploughed millions and billions into the development of this. And so I think this is the only tiddler, you know, floated, you can get exposure to this in. And it's rallying strongly. It hit 2p, and I pretty much bagged on 2p. Are you in the plane, Steve?
My helicopter's arriving.
It was a plane, Steve. I had a helicopter. Yeah. Helicopter.
Well, that was a helicopter.
That was a helicopter going above you, is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure, Steve?
Steve, can you find a noisier place to record this?
I could try.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, so Telefonica, I have 665, that's a lot, isn't it, O2 branded stores throughout Germany. Steve's on his motorbike now.
I'm still listening.
And so I'm just thinking, like, you know, listen, it's not too late here. This is only a 14 million market cap company. You know, I would wait for a pullback. And
now, I have a question for you, though, Justin. Did you sell any on this week's spike?
I went to sell half, and then I hit 2p. So on the day, I thought, do you know what? It may go up another day here. I may live or leave it, because I sold half on Coover. It doubled, and it went up another at 60p, and went to 90p.
Yeah.
But I'm quite confident that, you know, they've got more news coming out. And I think it's going to be good news, you know, because they're at the start. And they mentioned, let me just get that RNS release up, because I think there's an interesting bit of detail in here. Throughout Germany, beginning in September, so starting now for the period of 1 year. In addition, 65 flagship O2s in Germany will actively market the Melody VR app via branded in-store design to encourage consumers to try the Melody VR app on Samsung Gear VR headset. The light version of Melody VR app will enable O2 customers to experience content from artists such as The Who, Kygo, and London Symphony Orchestra. So,
who?
London Symphony Orchestra.
What was the other one?
Kygo.
Who's that?
Steve knows Kygo, didn't you, Steve?
Right, the bands.
Are they? Brilliant.
Is it Kygo?
Yeah, Kygo, yeah.
It's a Norwegian DJ, you big, fat, nose-flaring, nostril boy. It's a DJ.
Right. Sing one of the songs.
I can't. I'm not very good at singing songs.
Okay. What are you good at singing then? I'm good at singing drum beats. So anyway, Kygo, I just looked at him on Twitter. He's a... Steve, go on, if you knocked down my button. Music producer from Norway. Debut album Cloud Nine is out now. iTunes, and he's got 285,000 followers on Twitter, so not bad. Let's look at The Who. The Who is a big name, isn't it? So what we've got there, if we look at the artists there, you've got, you know, a youngish guy for young market. You've got The Who, which is, you know, they've got 500,000, which is an old-style rock, you know. And you've got the London Symphony Orchestra. So they across a nice brand there, a spectrum of artists, aren't they, you know?
Yeah.
And that's only the ones they've mentioned. So I quite like that. So also, you're assuming that the app will be out very soon. Over the next year, we expect the consumer adoption to... anyway, so it's good.
So this is another one where I kind of failed to get in. Obviously, Steam
has to get in. What is wrong with you?
Well, I'm there pressing the buy button, but they say, when it was at 1p. But I agree, the future of this one, it looks good. So now it's going to calm down a little bit. How much, who knows? But where would you see an entry into this one? Now.
1.8.
Yeah.
1.8.
No, it's a gap there, but it gapped up. It was a gap there, and that's why I say gap. So if it comes out there, you know, it'll settle back. It's spiked a little bit, so we'll see. But there's strength there. There's Steve's making deliveries.
Milking the cows now.
He's making deliveries. Anyway. So anything else there?
Right. Okay.
Any other stocks to look at?
Any other stocks we're looking at? Talao, Talou, Talou.
Are you in that?
I am now, yes. I had a little order. It filled the order when it dropped back this week a little bit.
Are you in, Steve?
No.
No. Why are you not in Talao?
It's because it's going to come back a bit more.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you may be right. But like I said, you know, Pete, he's sort of getting it now. You know, that
thanks.
Your first investment should be one of three.
Yes.
Be fully prepared for it's penny stocks. This is, I mean, I'm talking about, but you know, one of three where you know, put first investment in, then be prepared to put another third in 10% lower, another third in 10% lower. If it goes up, it's fine. You know, you're not going to worry about that. It's not a bad thing to happen, is it? But if it goes down, and that exposure there, those three tranches, shouldn't take up, you know, a certain percentage of your portfolio. Shouldn't overexpose you. So that way, you're fully prepared to expose yourself. You know?
So using that method and looking at, say, EVRH, like if you're going in even at a sort of relatively high price that it is now, even though it's cooled off a bit, you can almost like not worry so much, because then if it does fall more, you're going to put more in and average down. So is that how you would look at it? So
don't worry
that it's a little bit high at the moment, because you're not putting all your money in at one time.
Look at EVRH, right? I mean, you're better off buying on a down day, that's right to say. And if you see a down day, make an entry, you know, and then you know, allocate the next two trades. That's the way I've done, you know. Look, stop breathing, Steve. That's how I've done it anyway. And I quite like that strategy. It seems to be working out okay for me. You know, I've, like I said, my portfolio now, I've got about two or three stocks that are in the red. I mean, I think three, actually. But out of 17, so... It's okay, you know, as long as you're managing your risk and your exposure, yes. And you're prepared for it to go drop, you know, twice 10% after we bought it. You're okay, you know? Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
There was something else I was looking at, another stock, wasn't there? Yeah, I mean, do you know what? Someone said on Twitter, and they said about AIM stocks, and they said, there's certain companies I wouldn't touch now, like African Potash, I wouldn't touch, you know? And you may see this, you know, where stocks are on the edge. They could go bust, you know, they could go really bust. And then all of a sudden, they throw a lifeline. You can see the most aggressive rebound in the share price possible. You're talking about, you know, anything from 50 to, you know, a couple of 100% in a day, you know. And so a lot of people trade on those trades because they can get an amazing return if the company pulls through. But I'm thinking... that's not my, you know, I just said, no, I'm not in it for the short-term spike like that. You know, my strategy is to try and find an AIM stock that has medium-term potential. Like I said, I've said this all along, to become a mid-tier player, you know? And of course, the majority of stocks won't do this, but if you buy them at the right price anyway, on its journey, you should be up anyway by quite a bit before you know it's not going to make it to that mid-tier stock. And, you know, I three of the companies I think, in fact, now... EVRH, you know, could be there. I mean, it's, who knows what deals it does. But I definitely think Talao, you know, Asia Met has the possibility. We know, Buckle Engineers is what is that now? 80 million market cap? What is that company? Sort of, But I think
so Barclays.
They're 90 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're on the way, and you could say, but still, if you look at that revenue they projected, you know, you're still talking about 3 to 5 bagger here. And that's and they're more de-risked than, you know, the other stocks I've just mentioned. You know, they're more on the way to being a producer than say Talao and Asia Met. So of course they're more up the market cap size, and they've got more backing from bigger funds because they're less risky. You know, so it's just a case of Asia Met and Talao are more risky, but you have more chance there becoming getting 10 baggers, you know, 20 baggers or EVRH. So it's how you want. It's how you take a risk, isn't it? How much risk do you want, sir? How much risk, sir, do you want, sir?
Yes, 2 bags, please. There's been a couple of massive AIM stock stories this week with old Micro Focus. Who are they? Doing that deal with Hewlett Packard. And the other one was the erectile dysfunction. Can't say it without laughing. What was the erectile dysfunction drug company? Did you see them?
That Fume. Was...
Fum.
Yeah, Fum.
Fum. Fum.
Yeah,
check out your Futura, that's it. Futura Medical.
Futura Medical, that went up by... But do you see mobile on stream as well? Went up by 220% in one day.
I did not see that, no. What was that based on?
MOS. Well, mobile hopefully came on the podcast soon, by the way. Mobile on stream. Steve, out the way. You know, you're not down there.
Steve, you're annoying people.
You and your CD sound effects. Old style horn. Oh, that's a good one. Mobile on streams generate the revenue from apps and stuff like that, and you know all that stuff, and mobile advertising. But their focus, I think, was Argentina. Some of this South America, I think, it was Argentina. But Argentina's economy has tanked, and their currency has tanked, and so they've had to diversify away, and they've gone, I think, over to India, and I think Nigeria maybe as well. But for a while, because their main market was in Argentina, they've been suffering, and then they revealed this. This week that they've now got 50,000 active Indian accounts, so they seem to be getting on the way to get some traction there, and they went up massively on that news, you know.
But it's not just looking at the chart, so for months they're hovering around 4p, and then just this week, boom, 12p.
Yeah, I know, that's crazy, isn't it? I know, but that's kind of these stocks. There are stocks like this. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, one of the guys who's very good at picking these stocks is Smudge Dan, and he will look at stocks that and you know have been unloved, but they have a promise, you know. And he's looking for the catalyst to come ahead. And if it does, they go crazy, you know. And he's done very well at doing that. And he's a fair play. But some of the stocks, you've got to be prepared though to literally not be able to deal in them. I've done a couple of stocks. You know, he's been on the podcast, and I've done a research. And I go, I'll get in there. They've got cash and assets, fine. And but you can't deal in them. It's like online, you can't deal. I have to call up, you know, my stockbroker Barclays, and ask them to manually buy them in the market. So it's hard work. So when you start getting moving, hopefully you get a bit of liquidity so you can sell out. But if you don't, it's just hard to sell as well.
The mobile streams chart is in a brilliant sort of snapshot of the rocky road of AIM, isn't it? Because you could have bought this time last year around 4p, then it shot, and it was up at like 22p just before Christmas, or sort of October, November time. And then plummeted all the way back.
Peter, are you now doing sound effects, Dalek sound effects as well? I can't handle two of you doing sound effects.
Sound effects, this is the sound effects edition.
It is. Have you seen that bar? Literally went from 4 pence up to us, and that's nuts. And FUM, FUM as well, is nuts.
Yeah.
But do you know what? It's almost like saying some of these stocks, if you look, I mean, Zach comes on that and talks about breaking the 50-day moving average quite a bit, you know? And he says when it punches through that, always look at it in watch list. And volume tells a lot as well, you know, because you see a bit of volume sometimes. And I do that now. When I add a stock to my watch list there, I put price alerts and volume alerts. And I look at the volume average traded, and I say mark it up by, say, 100%. And then you see the volume coming in. You think, what's happening there? And, you know, it's worth looking at.
So Zach looks at the 50-day moving average.
Yeah, but he likes it. If something gaps through the 50-day moving average sometimes, or even goes through it in one day and significantly stays above that, then he quite likes that. In fact, talking about that, I mean, if you look at the chat there, I mean,
Of who? Of which one?
I'm looking at Asia Met. and that's in fact went above the 50-day moving average on Thursday. Now it's sitting on it now. But there was one other debt. Was it? PRS. The one Steve had 120 quid in before. Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
Paternoster Resources. Mm. It jumped up on Friday.
Sold it.
You sold that, did you?
£30 profit.
Yeah, that's a clean £5.63 profit in the back pocket. All right, don't stiffen it, boys. It's profit.
And I saw one of the. I did WhatsApp you guys, didn't I? One of the trades of one of the stocks we were talking about this week. There was a trade for two shares, and it was £17.37. Steve, was that you?
Potentially could have been.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm buying. Brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'll buy two shares, I think. Yeah, lovely.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, a couple of things before we go. So now, on the blog there, you can see most followed companies for the week over the last 7 days, which is a very telling thing. You see, basically, you see money piling into companies, but you don't see sentiment and interest in AIM companies. And that's a lot, so it's worth checking out on the blog there. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog, and then click one of my blogs there, and you'll see it there. And one other thing, so I will be sending out a new blog there. Go there on the weekend, and I don't know when it'll be up, Sunday probably, of our new Trade 2. Trade 2, it's a big stock, everyone's heard of it, pays a nice dividend, it turns over. It's done very well. I don't understand fundamentals. I've just been reading before I come on now. The fundamentals of this company are very good, and I don't understand why it's sold off. I'm thinking, even as a long-term investor, it is a good tuck in. If you're into bigger stocks, this is a good one to tuck into your portfolio, you know?
I
think as a brand, it's got a very good brand as well. You know, they're forward-thinking. Steve, you're a tech guy. I don't say what the company is, but you're aware of them. Are you quite impressed by their product?
Yes, all right.
That's a ringing endorsement.
Expensive, but you know.
Yeah, but that's the brand, isn't it? But listen, I'm glad Steve's not in the marketing department.
Because
he wouldn't be good PR, would he?
You've just mentioned it there.
I'll cut this bit out.
Okay.
I'll maybe get a horn and put it in there. From earlier on.
Department for.
Yeah. So if you want to find out what that company is, go to the blog there and you'll find it straight away and think, yes. And if you are a bigger cap investor, it's probably worth taking a look at it. All right, is that it, guys? Any plans the weekend? Steve, are you up in London all weekend?
No, I'm back in Wales for the weekend.
Okay.
Well, I might be going to Birmingham on Sunday for a tech show.
Look at Steve. London, Wales, Birmingham. He's all over the place. It makes you your passport, Steve, yeah? To get back into Wales.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Well, it's a bit late now. You're outside Wales. what's happening in Birmingham, Steve?
Oh, there's a light and sound show going on.
Oh, that sounds very fascinating. Who are you going with, Steve? What?
Oh, there's loads of my friends are all going up there, so, make a day of it.
Oh.
You're going to make a day of it? Do the light and sound show? Lovely.
Bit of a jolly.
Steve, who are your friends?
I'm not going to name them.
Are they all some engineers or tech geeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And on that note.
Oh, yeah. And I wonder why he's still single. Right. Lovely, Steve. Well, you make a day of it. The sound and light show, all right?
I will do.
What do they do then, Steve? I don't understand.
I'll tell you about it next week.
There's no better cliffhanger than that. Steve will tell you about the.
Well, the big manufacturers show off their new products and stuff, and you get to play with them and see if you want to buy them.
Okay, but what are you? You don't do discos anymore. You don't do lights and all that stuff anymore, do you?
No, but it's sound as well. So it's just more like Sennheiser, Roland.
Hello, Roland. Is it Roland from Grange Hill? Is he the main event? And ladies and gentlemen, from Grange Hill, Roland. Big lights and sound all over him. Hello, everyone. Do you remember Grange Hill? I'm Roland. And here's Janet. Hello, Roland.
Just say no.
There's all Stephen is mates at the front. Roland, 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 Roland. Yay! Light him up, guys. Roland, Roland. All right.
I'm tempted to come along.
Yeah, me. If Roland's there, I'll definitely go there. Roland and, and Janet in brackets. And
does
Janet.
He have a keyboard?
That'll be on the poster. Roland and Janet in brackets. Right. Have a nice weekend, Steve. There. Don't get too excited and carried away. Okay.
Yeah.
And get a selfie. Get a selfie with Roland. All right.
Yeah, okay.
I dare you to go there, Steve. And just,
I know
where I'm not daring you at all. But I dare you to approach people and say, when's Roland coming? When's his appearance happening? Say, what? And then storm off. Well, Roland's not here. Rip off, you guys. All right, then, have a nice weekend.
Bye. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.